It's happening in cities across the country. Once bustling houses of worship suddenly gone quiet. Millions of Americans have stopped going to church. The seismic shift so pronounced, a study was commissioned to try to get to the bottom of it. We delve deeper this week, and we are finding that American spirituality is not dead. It's just changing.
This is the big main worship room right here.
From Indiana.
Look at this. That's amazing. Those are choir robes.
To Texas.
Man.
And Massachusetts.
Stained glass is just amazing.
All across this country, YouTubers taking subscribers inside of old, abandoned churches, often in shambles.
And yeah, there's the balcony.
Graffiti on the walls.
Ridiculous. Get a disrespect, really.
Many of these churches, cornerstones in communities, the pews now empty. But what may not be as readily apparent as these structures in the heartland is this. Vibrant gatherings of young people, sometimes in unassuming spaces. All coming together to worship.
For those of you who are here in this space, holy cow, it's packed in here.
Pastor Jarrett Stevens of Soul City Church in Chicago is very aware of the de-churching statistics, but has seemed to crack the code.
The average age of our church right now is 27. So I definitely feel like I've aged out of our church. And what they don't see is that when you create a space for people to have an authentic experience, when you give them a voice and a seat at the table, they actually will want to not only be involved, but they'll want to shape the church.
But this may not be the church of their parents' generation.
Quick show of hands, how many of you pray every day? How many of you would describe yourself as religious?
Again, that probably would differ depending on how we talk about religion.
Yes.
So I think for me, religion is actually not something I relate to at all, the term religion. So for me, it's more of I'm actively following God.
When I was growing up in a highly religious family, it felt inauthentic because it felt like I was having to compartmentalize myself. Like certain parts of me were welcome at church, but other parts weren't. And the parts of me that struggled with mental health.
I grew up in a family of ministers. I grew up in a faith-based family. And so I, from a young age, understood the difference between religion and relationship. However, I grew up in a church that over time just did not really pour into the youth in the way that was needed for us.
Many people don't know this, but a lot of theologians have studied the life of these disciples. And many people believe that they were actually in their late teens and early 20s.
And it's this age group now that seems to be leading a modern movement, and not just in urban centers like Chicago. Earlier this year, a revival at a university in Kentucky went 11 straight days, finally having to be shut down, with their 1,400-person auditorium filled to the brim after word exploded on social media. And then at Oklahoma University, the Fill the Stadium event drew thousands of young people. The expression of American spirituality seems to be changing. The latest numbers now showing many Americans are de-churching. Folks who used to attend church at least once a month now go less than once a year. Over the last 25 or 30 years, 40 million people have stopped going to church.
It's the largest shift in religiosity in America over the last 200 years. There's actually more people left religion than joined religion during the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, and all of the Billy Graham Crusades combined.
But not all of America is losing their religion. Professor Ryan Burge, co-author of the book The Great Dechurching, says almost 88% of Americans say they still believe in God at some level.
When it comes to Gen Z and religion, are you hopeful about the future?
Look, we're talking about a faith that has prevailed for over 2,000 years. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about, and concerned about, I should say, the hands that try and hold on too tightly to it, rather than entrusting it to those who are coming behind them.
Thank you for watching. Go to NewsNationNow.com to find NewsNation on your television provider. And don't forget to click the red subscribe button below to get more of NewsNation's fact-driven, unbiased coverage.
Greetings and blessings, faithful followers of bbtemple.org worldwide. That was a special report about a trend called de-churching, which has accounted for a mass exodus from churches nationwide over the past 25 years. But fear not. Today, we are going to talk about not just what's happening and why, but more importantly, we are also going to look at how we can actively be a part of the rebirth of an even more powerful and personal church family worldwide. Amen. Amen. So on that hopeful note, if you would, O most exalted clicker person, do your stuff, change that slide, and thank you. And I will change what's on my screen too. Alrighty. Today's scripture focus verse is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Here from the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, thank you. And it reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near," with a capital D, the day he returns. Amen. Of course, we should always, always, always turn to the Bible first. It is the book. After all, this is a Bible study. But to help us take a deeper dive, we are going to look in another book, a very helpful book that can explain to us what's happening and help us understand. An excellent book entitled The Great De-Churching: Who's Leaving, Why They Are Going, and What It Will Take to Bring Them Back. This is a fascinating book. These gentlemen did not despair. They decided to look and seriously find out what's going on. And here from the book cover, I read, "This book gives the church in America its first ever deep dive into the de-churched phenomenon. You'll learn about the de-churched through a detailed sketch of demographics, size, core concerns, church off-ramps, historical roots, and the gravity of what is at stake. Then we will explore what can be done to slow the bleed, engage the pertinent issues winsomely and wisely, and hopefully re-church some of the de-churched." That word's going to come up again. Peeps, this did not happen overnight. In fact, in 1972, 41% of Americans attended church every week. But by 2021, that declined to 24%. This de-churching trend, it affects all denominations. About 29% of Baptists leaving the faith. No one is immune. It is happening everywhere, to every congregation worldwide. So what do we do about that? I've got great news. 51% are willing to return, and it may be as simple as asking them to come back to church. Come back. Ask them. You would be surprised. So rather than the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, let's do a little more to bring them back. Oh, amen. Okay, how are we going to do that? Let's take a look. Oh, most valuable clicker peep. Once again, it's time to click. And as I've said previously, I accept the Lord as my personal Savior. At a Billy Graham crusade, 1972 in Cleveland, Ohio. Back then, you could tell them, and they would respond, and I certainly did. But now, a half century later, we need to do a little more than just tell them. We need to show them. We need to show them as well. But how? How are we going to do that? So glad you asked. Of course, the book gets in a whole lot more detail. We just don't have the time. So I'm hitting the high points. Three steps. Step number one, comprehend. Step number two, commend. Step number three, critique. Now, this is based on the model of the Apostle Paul's interactions in the book of Acts, chapter 17, when he was speaking to a wide range of culturally diverse people, mainly Jews, but many other people, and they were worshiping a whole host of different gods. Instead of jumping on him for that, he actually gets them. He gets them. Remember that campaign, He Gets Us? Paul gets them. And as a result, he appeals to them in ways that they could relate to. And then and only then is he going to offer a little constructive criticism. After all, who doesn't like a little praise? As long as it is sincere. And we need to establish first some sort of common understanding to be able to build towards a relational opening. Because, again, then and only then can you offer that constructive criticism without totally shutting down your dialogue in the process. Who better to, like, if you want, how do you do that? There's a gentleman, we have talked about him a lot, Ray Comfort. He has been doing street evangelism for, oh my goodness, decades. And he simply engages people where they're at. And he doesn't beat them over the head with the Bible. No, no, no. He does exactly what we're talking about here. He strives to comprehend first where they're coming from, commending them where appropriate. And then and only then, critiquing. And even that word, critique, I'd rather, like, he's giving them something to think about. Yeah, you can even see the wheels turning in the videos where he is interacting with people one-on-one. He's not in a big stadium, not playing a guitar. He's one-on-one with people, which I think is, in my humble opinion, the best way because, gee, who else did it that way? Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ, one-on-one. Check it out. So what is our takeaway for today, peeps? Oh, most faithful clicker boss, please, if you would, click away just one last time. You know, I'm thinking there's a better word. And it's rechurching. Rechurching. What do I base that on? Isaiah 43:18-19. My favorite passage. And it is, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray as we go forward that we are able to, rather than be discouraged where we are, be encouraged of the opportunities that lie ahead of us. And I think we're off to a great start with our recent meet and greet. It's a good start, but we can't stop there. We need to continue to press forward towards the goal, which is in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a time such as this, when so many people are looking for something they can believe in, and we have the answer. So let us not keep it to ourselves. No, let us share it openly and honestly and joyfully. Yes, joyfully, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for such a time as this, allowing us to be part of this great rechurching. For your glory, in the name of Jesus, our Son and risen Savior, amen and amen.